read this in the future. This is something I did before, about a year ago, but I thought I'd chamber it again because it's, if you like, it's a modern nativity story. And I thought it was the time of year to do it. And it's called Real Life. Guard Orion here. Ex-Guard Orion now. My last day on the job was 5 months ago. Got a call about a woman who had collapsed in Grafton Street. I found her under a bundle of clothes. African. She was having a baby. I recall it clearly still. I arrived, surveyed the situation, pretending to be calm. It is unreal. My last day, and I get this. The deepest part of me wants to turn tail. I feel my stomach churn. I haven't trained for this. I loosen her clothes. I can't believe I'm doing this. They are so tight that no baby, no matter how pushy, could get out into this world. People just walk on. The African woman contracts, breathes, her face contorts, and totally silent up to now, she suddenly lets out a near-splitting scream, just enormous volume. That gets attention. That stops people up. How can we help? Mute eyes seem to say. They look as if they can hardly help themselves. They can't help staring anyway. It's better than any soap. Better than reality TV. This is reality. A baby arrives to a large, ashamed audience. A soggy little thing sliding out on a river of blood and waters. Life renewing itself. What is it? Boy or girl? Will it be an Irish citizen or illegal African? Who cares about that right now? She's beautifully okay. An ambulance arrives and takes the huge woman in the flowing coloured clothes away, holding the dark, wrinkly baby. She has not even noticed me. You're welcome, ma'am, I say to the departing ambulance. Something inside me has been quietly overwhelmed. My last day on the job, and I find something just beginning for the very first time. I feel strangely emotional, lightheaded. Something profound has got me off balance. I'm no longer a guard, seeing life in terms of rules as legal or illegal. Life is greater than the sum of its parts. While we worry, life moves. While we argue, legislate, and enforce, moves still, screaming in the air. People look after the ambulance and wonder. The strange shock is gone. The extraordinary event is over. People don't know what has occurred and vaguely wonder before passing on, did anything really happen? Just a vagrant being moved on, someone mutters. We heard about them on the news, says another. They come here to have their baby, get Irish citizenship. Maybe, a child whispers to another, maybe she didn't really have a baby. Was it a trick? A clever trick to beat the system? Maybe she had it hidden under her clothes all along. The thing is already losing itself in humor. Suspicion lists. But I'm beyond this now. I have retired. She moved on. I'm looking for a bigger world. Like that African woman and her baby. I too need a new beginning. After 35 years, I'm still looking for my life, real life.
Thanks, Joe. Next up we have Alan Kirby.
two points. The first is for my daughter, but I think it's also for mothers and mostly for mothers, but also for fathers. You came at the right harmonious chord among our faltering adult memories, stabilizing. I have not yet found my adult feet, my melodies are not always tuneful, my words often discordant. And your every cry is harmonious, I can tune my life to it, like your mother, who sings a melodious tune to your gentle beat, sleep, cry, smile, and eat. I think television is something that we should be a bit wary of, but we just open our minds to television and, you know, it's going to be telling you, and people are not very mindful, I think, a lot of the time. And it's, I'd regard it as quite a serious addiction in society, you know, television. But this is something what this poem is about. This fire is entertainment enough for me. I watch the sparks dance like lovers around the old dead trees, much more interesting than TV. And you might regard this as a trivial matter of preference. However, this week a man was murdered on my street for his TV. A guard stands outside his house now, solemn as a priest, his long ceremony continues. What will he do without these guards to mark a murder? Is there no one more qualified to hold a solemn vigil and perform sometimes a purification ceremony? Or could we not, for 1 hour, turn away from our TVs and stare collectively in horror? Mother.
Thank you, Alan. And next up we have Matthew Sweeney.
Hello, you will know that there's a film being made in Cove by Conor McPherson, script by Billy Roach, and all kinds of emails and ads and looking for volunteers to come to the film set. And the ad said these had to be people from other worlds. So the ad looked for people with very funny looking faces. Other worlds. My nose resembled a stinkhorn. My teeth had more black than a piano's key. One eye was gone. My hair was electrocuted. My voice, when I sang, made dogs howl. So I deduced my future had to be in film. I scanned the Cork Examiner for an opening. Saw an invitation to inhabitants of other worlds. Hitchhiking to the old port of Cork, of Cove. Fighting my way against a pipe band. I presented myself at the Titanic arm. A bald man in a suit with a red bow tie but no shirt scrutinized me at the door. You're uglier than a moose, you'll do. I left my antlers at home, I said, but he was hiccuping and his monkey farted. I followed him up the stinky stairs. Yuck, 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 shouted the speakers. A parrot swooped down, shrieking my name. Where are the cameras, the cameras? A torrent of salt water engulfed me.
Thank you, Matthew. And next up we have Bree Bradley.
This is called Schrodinger's Cat. Staring the same rooms of different cages sit my two Schrodinger cats. One is of the present, and one is of the past. Underneath their veils they lie, the bar shows not a crack, a clue to tell if they have come to me or hid them at their back. I offer my full face to them, and a chlorine powdered eyes. Had I been as real to them as they've been in my life? Were they content now that they finally got the cream? But did they flutter on their noxious breath, shadowy sounds, unable to scream? I feel my double self within me, at times I am tired. Suddenly too shy to say, can I have some more? That wouldn't be my style. At other times, I'm a wizened old woman, too set in her ways, from the walking staff and routine paths to take the risk of stray. I read from words telling me to embrace my contradiction, but tell me, did the man ever have a Schrodinger cat sitting in his kitchen? If only you scratch at my door or up the volume on your heart's rhythm, if you want to be let in or out, you have to step beyond the doors of loneliness. Sharing the same room with different cases sit my two Schrodinger cats. One is of the present, and one is of the past. Underneath their veils they lie, the veil shows not a crack. A clue to tell if they've come to me, or his to match their back. A black cat crosses my path. A black path crosses my path. And this is called Anantara, and it's kind of to do with like Celtic mythology, the idea of like kind of souls kind of understanding each other, not really through communication, but just being from the same place. Anantara, I recognize your ancient faces streaking down the street and in the crowded rooms. See your coloured souls standing out like billowing flags of flame in a white world of surrender. You have lent me your human hand, lemon yellow. You are the stranger that smiles when I meet your gaze, azure skies. You are the cashier that doesn't touch when I give you change, shining silver. You are the willingness to wear and walk the moments of my shoes, blood red. You are a drunken declaration, my soul friend, burning orange. You are the player behind the guitar, rips down my spine, sea waves blue. You say the volume sings, Anantara, floral lilac. You are a meeting of eyes found to have less distance than usual, deepest indigo. You were a word you didn't know you gave me, color pink. You were a faithful man sitting next to me on the box pasture green. I cannot tell you when you are here, Anantara. That would be pulling Janus from his door frame. But thank you, my rare old soul friend. There are not enough words that colors to describe you. May you stay with me forever, Anantara, even if we cannot speak. I have needed you at night when streetlights were the only ones to bear me witness. Nights when faith was long spot my well. I missed you walking home after a strangely legal Sunday evening, a man of dread of dream water you, asking me to come back to his apartment, despite the fact you had a wife. Forcing me to lie, Anantara, that I had someone to lie next to in the night. You were my sucker, Anantara, a man's turquoise face leaning from flowing car to ash. Did this guy have from you? And I thank you, Anantara, for all your gentle reins and the smallest acts of kindness, to knowing what I was going to say before my lips had parted. Stay with me forever, Anantara. You are a firefly on an empty black night. I will follow where you lead. As long as you care to be with me, I run with you. I will try to return your favors. I will run with you, far from this broken city. I will try to return your favors, Anantara, the gift that you bestow. I will set kindle to my flame, Anantara, and when I have, I know that you will recognize my ancient face streaking down the street and in the crowded room.
Thank you, Bree. And next up we have Eva Morland. Eva.
This is called Goodbye. I am falling, or am I? Am I moving here at all? Is it me or the earth that's sliding? I'm whizzing through the air like a broken bird. Am I facing up or facing down? Which are my hands? Which are my feet? Is my head recoiling backwards or tucked in or underneath? Which shape am I? Which colour? Am I me or someone else? Can I get out of here? I must get out. Is there any light in here? How can I stop this? Soft, it doesn't matter how I scream. It makes no difference how I clamber. There's nothing in reach to hold on to. And what size am I, what texture? I don't seem to stick to these walls. Do I have a voice? I scream and shout, but no one is coming, no one at all. Can I steady myself before I burst into a million pieces? Before I hit the end and smash? Before I cut and break off? Before I turn limber like jelly? What is this world? What is this force? Am I what an atom? Will I sink and burn? Will I figure out? Will I stay in here forever?
Thank you, sir. And next up we have Mary Gibbon.
Harold, how did the tawny owl get in my dream? A speckled ball of fluff, rusty orange and white, with a small oval white head and yellow-flecked black eyes, he tumbled in, flitted and dipped round the room, light as air. Children were there, trying to catch him in their fists, and when I called out to them not to squeeze him to death, he slipped through their fingers and was gone. 2 months later, I see your face on the mortuary slab. You are wearing your red bandana and your yellow sweatshirt. Your favorite Barbie is keeping you company. What are those purple marks on your cheek and nose? Your body is jagged, frozen in its last attitude. Your dark lashes resting on your round white face. The brown eyes you used for talking sealed now beneath their lids. I imagine your smile. Remember the owl small enough to fit in the palm of my hand, and the children circling round him, trying to grasp him, and the heart beating in the ball of feathers as he slipped through their fingers. Thank you.
And next up we have Fiona Rim.
This is about the castle in Munich, Schloss Neuschwanstein. It's one of the Disney castles based on. Schloss Neuschwanstein, perched amongst alternating lines of landscape, mountains, green trees, varied with clouds. A fairy tale castle launched into the real. No princess was to visit, and it streams of tourists who escape, transported in carriages. Flashes of cameras in succession, leaping like bright wide eyes to capture the sample of the dream. Something to hang upon the walls, in a house on a tree-lined street, with a shed and mortgage, the hydrated dead of plants keeping on the doorstep. A castle drawn into our consciousness as magical, swept off its unsuspecting foundations to become a symbol, chosen to house a simple story, no longer remembered tale. The road inclines for quite a while before you reach it, a small gesture towards pilgrimage. Heads of visitors extraordinary intervals tilt back and stare at the sharpening tips of tourists through the trees. The depths of the white walls, bits of darkened windows cut into them, feeling nostalgic for something they've always known and yet never seen. Thank you.
Thank you, Fiona. Next up, can we have Mr. Nick Barry?
First one I have is about a skin condition I have, and so I think very easy to spoke about it. This one is for the lads in the locker room, the ones who deserve the double syllable torn. For the teenage stroking of an ego, driving bravado to the top. Doctors, with a leering smile, I keep my money and you your life. Would you please drop your trousers to the world that slap the arse off you and listen to you wail like a girl? How I die happy just to see your face. My beautiful disease kissing you all over. The look on your face, doctor, as you roll away from your lover, will show my age. isn't by me. I've read it here before, but it was my first meeting with Woodrow Wilson. Hello, hello, hello. This is Lord Floyd. Can you hear? The fire and the nation is what I've got for you down there. On earth I have ambassadors, Archbishop Baker Pope, who bind you with morality and best abandon any hope. We're telling you to pray because you were born in sin. Right from the start we'll build a cell and then we'll lock you in. We sit in holy judgment, condemning those that stray. We'll offer you forgiveness, but first we'll make you pay. Be exactly who you want to be. Do exactly what you want to do. I am he and she is she, but you're the only you. No one else has got your eyes and can see the things you see. It's up to you to change your eyes and my life's up to me. The problems that you suffer from are the problems that you take. The shit that you choose to climb through is the shit that you choose to take. If you don't like the life you have, change it now, it's yours. Nothing has effects unless you recognize the cause. The problem, if the problem's not the one you want, get up and turn off the set. It's only you can choose the life that you're going to get. Basically the women's role in, from a men's eye, from a men's point of view. I didn't write it, so if you're really play a band called Fugazi, and I just thought it kind of struck me as different and important. Call a suggestion. Why can't I walk down the street free of suggestion? Why can't I walk down the street free of suggestion? Is my body the only trace in the eyes of men? I've got some skin. Do you want to look in? There is no reward in what you discover. You spent yourself, boy, watching me suffer. Suck your words, suck your eyes, suck your hands, suck your interpretations of what it is to be a man. I've got some skin. Do you want to look in? She does nothing to deserve it. He only wants to observe it. We sit back like they taught us. We keep quiet like they taught us. He just wants to prove it. She does nothing to remove it. We don't want anyone to mind us, so we play the rules that they assigned us. She does nothing to conceal it. He touches her because he wants to feel it. We blame her for being there. But we are all guilty. Why can't I walk down a street free of suggestion? Why can't I walk down a street free of suggestion?
Thanks, Nick. And next we have Mary O'Connell.
What I did before, and this one, which I just a few lines on Janis Joplin. No one could hold Mother Earth's child, frail and forlorn in Avalon, tossing her long wild hair in a swirling high-pitched wail. She screamed the cosmic blues, flew full-tipped into the void. And I risk the royal flush again, especially for Mary and Matthew. Royal flush. It's square, quite grey, and stands outside the city library. The new public convenience is not exactly free. Drop 20 cents into a slot, and you, as well as me, along with Michelle Pfeiffer, can have a silent peace. Consumed by curiosity, I ventured towards the door. A girl emerged, so I went in. My need to go was sore. I hadn't read what I should do, nor put in 20 cents. Dear God, I wondered if by chance I'd gone into the gents. The automatic door slid shut. I pressed the special lock, then lowered myself onto the bowl, but got a nasty shock. A lever shot out from the wall and pushed against my arm. My jeans were round my ankles as I rose up in alarm. Then water spurted everywhere and drenched me down below. I haven't even pulled a chain that might induce the flow. While locked inside the steely tomb, I wrestled out of sight with spotting tights and handbags. I've got another fright. While doing my best to button up, the automatic door began to open inch by inch. I sank down to the floor. To use this mad contraption and avoid looking a freak, you should study the instructions before taking a leak.
Thank you, Mary. And next up we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, everybody. Here's a few of them earlier. I've read them before, but if you have, no, it's great to do and don't like. This one's called Stop Taking. I hacked on a book of this, rather than the ridicule of those we know, or the sad quality of what we are not. To be guardians of rulemaking. Kissing the long arm of a private law, blunted out by Ace of the Chardonnay, among other things. Why should I be contrived? Why should I be the one to turn off the light, calling out a bed to do so? The night is always cold, regardless of how the stars in our hearts go awry. Ignorance is no longer a sin or a defense, as we long to see ourselves go, for the comfort of our own homes, or the quality of stars in our minds. The structure is supported by complacency. Why should I be contrived for this? I'm not being schizophrenic. The most entertaining story of all time exists in my head alone. Reality it exists bored me. If I can do without you, at least, let me have a private conversation with me alone. Isolated by a panorama of pills, they make me less dangerous, allegedly. Three lines in sync with the judge from the buses on the home stretches. You, however, are needlessly worried by a gentle and slaughtered lamb. One who bears the wager of sin, as a copy of blood and stillness, this is what comes of releasing the mind. A brief dark room tries to hide us in case, God forbid, it should escape for fear of a catastrophe of millions and its cat calls of war. I know some spiritual as well. This is their form of thinking ill. And making a war without me, being strangled in a deep box room. And this one is called The Valley of Danger. At once, my enemy, a blank page, stares at me, an organized nest of rows and columns, jottings, and loose pages of indolence. One half before what I purport to have achieved is thrown back to me, remembering how I forged my own lines. Tragic and cruel, I have become the worshipper of my own arrogance. Getting through the library steps, the lips are open again. Eyes, ribs, sweating, my thighs, feet, receptive, by mobile ring. A 10-year-old fine, all out. Fine, I won't do it again. I will wash my mouth on with Guinness, for I'd be truly Irish. One must obey our stereotypes, no matter how well they are set. The leprechaun dances in the south corner of the gift shop, goes tacky with demand. There is such a vanity, but things never worked out that way. The subpoena tinted urges, bursting out an image of reckoning. I will hold a line in the corner, the better turn to board next.
Thanks, Patricia. And it's the last round of the bar for anyone who wants to fight. For otherwise, and next up, could we have Jennifer Matthews?
There's a book for sale up here by Anna Maria Curatorana. She's been our guest book before. She's brilliant. I really recommend her. So I'm going to read one of her poems that I love a lot. It's called Mid-Morning Meditation. Unable to concentrate on work, suffering an internal mess over characters and thoughts, I leave the desk and the mini mounds of sawdust vigorously mounting under it. Woodworms. There is woodworm everywhere. The house is being slowly eaten alive. Sometimes it moans, just a quiet creak, not intending to disturb, accepting, maybe even glad to be so roused. Unable to concentrate on work, I hang my hair out the open window, spill it all out on the terrace to get tangled in a dying witch hazel in a cracked pot. An ant zigzags across the tiles, an ant without a colony, unemployed. An old church pew pulls away from its joints. It too is cracking along the grain. Her lack of pious buttocks and bony knees, lack of feet and elbows to scuff it ardently, whispering the warm mantras of the world. The ant is lost. The pew is misplaced. There is no God. Pots crack, beams threaten to give and kill me in my sleep. Hazelnuts and groves are going to waste. The grapes are not yet ripe. This is the sum of life to date. It is a blessed day. This is one man. I stole the first line from somebody who I don't know who it is yet. I'll soon to find out. And we'll happily credit them when I find out. An avid tooth section, flesh selected for consumption, digestion. What feeds? What sustains? What breaks down in self-serving juices? How do taste buds determine a taste of more? Satisfaction crushes capillaries nicely into a shape of possession, but ultimately hidden is no sight. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll have Anne-Marie Corcorana with a guest again next year sometime as well. She's coming out with new poetry. Jen, do you know that?
Sorry.
Anne-Marie Corcorana will be back next year. Next up we have Seamus Harkin.
Wash. It bobs and turns turtle without a single bubble, dancing past my transom, a fairy liquid bottle. The stalker. I stalk the alley to and fro each day. My evil eye displays a fear intent. My spring is high enough to reach my prey. These little tramps of mine keep tongues at bay. My lexic pitch does not embrace lament. I stalk the alley to and fro each day. At every chance I strike without delay. My feral breed does not require consent. My spring is high enough to leech my prey. This broken thrush was doing its low sachet. Unlike the other 99%, I walk the alley to and fro each day. I've yet to taste the hooded crow's dismay. He scans the path before each rare descent. My spring's not high enough to teach this prey. Oh yes, I draw a blank some weeks, but hey, I never show a sign of discontent, but stalk the alley to and fro each day. My spring is high enough to bleach my prey.
Thank you.
not an old man from Dundrum, whose dentures were smashed on a plum. So somewhat remiss, he shies from each kiss, while gorging on dry chocolate crumbs. But later, that man from Dundrum swapped molars for sticks of chewing gum. From that day to this, he speaks with a hiss, through dentures away of his plum. Current generation. Engine in the garden, pumping in the tulips, busy while it idles, pumping out pollution. Now another racket, this cuts at the concrete, sparks along the pathway, peppering red tomatoes. Evergreens don't envy this exhausting effort. Blooms can hear no skylark, runner beans no walkman. Tabby's on the chimney, Jenny still put footing, decibels appealing through his silly lordship. Home strip caterpillars, softly pleading, let us have a moment's silence. Frogs are slowly croaking. Eve had snapped that apple, well above the ozone, claimed it was organic. Adam soon inside her. Thank you.
Next up we have Jean Barry.
That was a great meeting earlier, Pat. Thanks very much. First poem is called Working Days, and it's for Joe Sweeney. In the Royal Hospital car park, under the high sun that was oblivious to the occupants of the discharging belt of taxis, cars with shiny blue permits newly perched on their dashboards, and special transporters and ambulances, I sat filling out my most important paperwork that shortly I believe would be cast aside as one would a useless cigarette end. I watched them arrive, mostly in pairs, just the odd loner strutting like a hired gun, defiant. Others left me wondering if there was a corral of redundant friends and families, working, sitting, sleeping in ignorance. The automatic mouth of the clinic swallowed repeatedly, spitting out the lucky ones like distasteful kernels, eating from the topped-up feed bag of mixtures. Bargaining in fear mostly, the odd acceptance a tasty bite, denial irregular, and accessorized carefully in a variety of medical appliances. The patterns who guided, lifted, pushed and poked, wore their new faces, repeatedly administering encouragement to a host of deaf ears. They came wrapped mostly in quickly purchased and ill-fitting pajamas, nighties and dressing gowns, all lost in their new undersized frames and in the importance of the moment. 9 weeks later, the days shortening and the sun kissing the horizon a few hours earlier, I was back again, carefully nursing him along the conveyor of inevitability, my mask a perfect fit, a bag of irrelevant fashion hanging on my left shoulder, and he who gave me life, leaning on the other. The two of us, babbling, babbling, babbling. The second one is called When the Dam's Met. That late November gift, arriving wrapped in 14 degrees and pouring from its low set sun, introducing the remaining die-hard stagnant leaves, left clinging like summer seaside children to moments of grace and broadcasting the quakes, whistles, tweets and flutters from the low fresh cut hedgerows whose donor's identification I make repeat promises to learn. I acknowledge you on our lane That very day, when my own torment raised me late, driving me from the shoulders down to clear the fear that was fighting at my overflowing dam. And as I walked, I let its fragments fall between the loose chippings of my life, rolling through the drains of my past. You spoke first of depression and medication, of loneliness, gradually raising your head higher as the judges were made redundant. Eventually smiling, before parting with a handshake as solid and honest as your words. I want to tell you that I was kept sane by loving mantras that arrived daily without a timetable or departure gate. All was on time. But you didn't need to hear my story. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jane. And next up we have Dorhai.
Friday night was full moon. I said I'll keep the Moses because it was 40,000 kilometers nearer than it had been for a long time. And I only found out when my old dad dragged me from the back garden at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm holding at it. And he hasn't spoken to me since. This is called Blood Red Moon. The blood red light came from the night. Was it a dying moon? Oh, so tired of lighting up her gloom, wanting soon to take to its flight. It was a dying moon. No thanks it got, no response. Was it a lying moon? Taken for granted, sometimes unwanted, why should it stand? It was a dying moon. Still tomorrow it shall light, a dying day into a night. And this one is called Scattering, but it's utterly superfluous because your dad doesn't scratch it very well. Do not send me down, but scatter me over the sealed cave, and if his old grey head should emerge to say hello, just say goodbye instead. Do not send me down, but scatter me over the chieftain's grave, and if you see that old grey fox slinking down the path, just give him one last wave. Do not send me down, but scatter me on Ballymacus God. And if you hear that pigeon cooing down in the glen, tell him I applaud.
Thank you, Bill. Next up to the mic we have Aaron Lewis.
Good evening all. Sorry I'm a bit late.
You're very late.
Good to see you, Matthew. We had a lovely vegetarian Christmas dinner at my house and mulled wine and amazing food, and then we had mince pies and cream, and then we had Irish coffee as well, so it was really good. But anyway, I wrote this poem on the bus going to London a week ago, and sometimes you fall in love and then it takes time to realise how love comes through us and how it can help us evolve as human beings, and also I think love also gives us a sense of who we really are ourselves. I'll find it in a second, right?
sure of it, wouldn't he?
I didn't have to be very bold, sorry.
Okay. As the sprinkle of lotus petals floated on the dark cool pond, the white, delicate petals glistening in the full moonlight, I stood open palmed, cold. My bare feet kissing the cold grass plain was surrounded with black water. A large sycamore, all its tiny, stood high above me. Feeling calm in his presence, I wept my love. Tears of sadness trickled down my cold, rosy cheeks. I stood there, motionless, silent, surrendered, allowing my pain to wash over me like a cold shower in summer. The moon still clear, not a cloud in the sky. The craters on the face almost like pockmarks. The stars firmly fixed in the distance, looking at one another. I see Orion's belt in the distance. I look to my left, I see Mars with a glowing red tinge, almost as shiny as the stars with a slight hint of crimson. Crimson on the painter's palette delicately lifts his brush to kiss the canvas. Leaves a print which resembles a kiss, like the kiss of her dark red lips, the deep brown eyes engaging my soul, the press of our warm lips together, the soft pressure of affection deeply loving a moment of peace. I'm gone for a moment, meandering through my thoughts. I come back to the cold pond. My release has brought a smile to my eyes. The wet tears have satisfied my moment. The truth is, we weep for ourselves. The love we really seek is in within our own hearts. When we are basking in the embrace of a lover's arms, we are at peace with our life, the world, ourselves. We can bask in our own hearts, in our own love. The freedom of self-truth, the essence of freedom, and total connection to our own soul. I kneel down and kiss the ground where I place my feet. I feel at peace. With one, with love in my own heart. Thank you is all I feel. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. And next up to the mic, we have Daniel Ben. Daniel?
Okay, I wrote this little rhyme as a verse in a song for a friend of mine last week, and I quite like it, so I'll do it again now. Has anyone here seen I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, by the way?
Right.
No, I know. This is still the introduction. Good, I'll just check in that you have to, you understand that I'm getting that. Okay, here we go. To escape the reality of our mentality, we switch off our minds by switching on the TV. Tuning in to I'm a Celebrity, look at how my boobies bounce in my bikini. How we're wasting our time, how we're wasting our minds, how did we get so far from the divine? I take a sip from the wine of the truth of our time, and pray that my energy can realign. Because though the cure may be bitter, the future will be sweeter as we get our shit together to build ourselves a better place than this suburban disgrace, taking over the planet, putting concrete scars all over our Mother Earth's face. And we can choose, we don't have to tolerate the system anymore. In fact, that's the only reason why I'm up here in front of you talking about it for. Deal with the trouble and the strife of the modern times. Merely symptoms of a system we can leave behind as we focus on our positive intentions and work with the wind of loving transformation, and as we open our minds, then we open to time. As we open our minds, we open to time. Sure. by Mary Oliver. Is anyone familiar with Mary Oliver? I'm not really. I just found it in my little book, and I don't really even know how it got here, but I love it, so I'll share it with you. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscape, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination. Calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. That's it.